Joining us now, and it is from KMBR.com, and he's a regular on the show and has been doing a great job. And, Bill, we welcome Mark Sanchez to the show. Mark, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Bill, good to talk to you again. Marty, it's great to hear your voice. At least you're back. now we just got to get baseball back, too, to really align the two.
Yeah, it was a couple of weeks off at trying to balance these medications, but I want to give it a shot today, and I'm just glad to be here today and do the show with Bill. And he's been a great partner, and I can't thank him enough publicly, privately, as he knows, for hanging in there. So we'll see how it goes after today. But glad to have you with us. And as I said earlier, the rumor mills are going. What's going to happen here with the Giants in the rest of this series? What do you know?
Well, there's a report out there that it was a false positive, and they're going to play a doubleheader tomorrow. The Giants actually just released a statement about 1 minute ago, confirming that, you know, it's a member of the organization has tested positive. They are self-isolating in San Diego hotel rooms, which all of this we know. The team conducted contact tracing and is continuing testing of the entire traveling party, and they will keep us updated. So I think that's their way of not refuting, but at least disputing this report and saying there is nothing official. They are still going to keep testing and keep trying to figure out, you know, if the player is okay and if everyone else is okay. So they have not canceled tomorrow's game yet or postponed it, which is a good sign. And I was a little bit surprised originally that they didn't postpone it. The fact that that at least is in play, it bodes well. But the Giants are not, they have not talked publicly, and this is their first update today. So hopefully this means that they're just going to test a little bit more and they'll play tomorrow. But as of now, nothing's official.
Hey, Mark, thanks for joining Marty and I on this afternoon. And one of the things we always talk about, and it happened yesterday when Dave Greschner came out and went talked right to the umpires. My question to you, if you know this or not, is this all to Major League Baseball? Is that who they're communicating with and Major League Baseball has the final outcome? Or will they step in to say, no, we're not playing tomorrow. The Giants will not play. We need to add another day. Who really oversees all this?
Yeah, I believe it's Manfred. That everything goes through him. That when a test comes back positive, Major League Baseball can step in and postpone the game. And I'm sure, you know, both teams are not really deciding whether to play or not at that point, and it's out of their hands, as far as I know, at least.
You know, Mark, more rumors going around. They might as well ask you the questions. Have they released the name of a player? And then there was a rumor that possibly two players were involved. What have you heard about that?
It is a player. I have not. I can't confirm what player it is. So I'm sorry. I'm not a whole lot of help with that one. But it's a player on the Giants. They're in San Diego right now. They're isolating. Hopefully that the report is correct and it was a false positive and the player has since gotten two negatives and they can play tomorrow. But beyond that, I think it's mostly hearsay right now.
Okay.
Hey, Mark, I wanted to throw something to you that we saw on Friday, and it wasn't on the Giants side. It was the Padres side, and it was their bullpen. My goodness, they got some flamethrowers coming out of there, and they used six relievers after Paddock only went two innings, and they didn't even put Pomeranz or Rosenthal on the hill. So tell us a little bit of how much you know about this bullpen, because I tell you what, they were lights out.
Right, mate. You know, among all the trades that they made at the deadline, they brought in two relievers and they brought in a closer. When Chris Paddock, who's one of the better pitchers in baseball, leaves after two innings, and that doesn't mean that the Giants offense can go wild. That really says a lot about just how effective and how powerful those arms. There's so many hard-throwing arms in their bullpen. You know, I remember talking with Kapler, you know, before that, and his saying, you know, once we go on a plane, then we need to really go over scouting reports. They had to figure out Paddock. They had to prepare because with so many of these guys, they get to them in the fifth or sixth inning when they've seen them a time or two, and that's really when the offense wakes up. It's interesting to me that might have actually worked in the Padres' favor, that when you see all these different looks from all these guys that maybe the Giants weren't as prepared for, you know, in the first game of the series as as well as they would be prepared for in the fourth game of a series. They really didn't know what was coming, I think. And that's what came across, is that all these different arms really kept the Giants at bay. And this offense has always come around, and you were waiting for it to wake up, and it never did.
Looking at Jeff Samardzija, again, people talk about, well, maybe he can come back and be a bullpen piece. Maybe he won't come back at all. There's only a couple of weeks to go, and he hasn't really pitched competitively yet. Cahill was awful the other night. He really was not what, if you want to call it himself. Smiley really bailed him out of that game to keep the Giants in it, at least give him a chance. What do you think is coming for Cahill and Samardzija, if anything?
You know, I was a lot more certain of what was coming before COVID struck, and that sort of tossed lots of plans into oblivion. I was pretty sure that Cahill was going to leave the rotation. They were going to insert Smiley there. I also wouldn't have been surprised if they skipped a Tyler Anderson start, because they were going to have two off days coming up, and you know, that means that you can squeeze in Gausman and Cueto on 5 days rest and skip a couple guys and really maximize what you get from the top of the rotation. But if they're suddenly playing a couple double headers, maybe tomorrow or maybe Monday, or maybe they're playing an extra game Thursday, that really changes things. And I think that gives Cahill another shot in the rotation. Samardzija, I'm less certain about. You know, he's building up, and they were not as eager to rush him back as they were Smiley, which I think everyone can sort of understand why. Samardzija's throwing 89-90, which is about 2 miles per hour slower than he was last year. I heard, at least for his bullpen session about a week ago, he was not throwing his splitter. He had stopped throwing it this year because of the blister issue he was having, and I guess has gone away from it since, and that had been his best pitch. I think that they're looking at him more as insurance, and maybe they ask him to go out of the bullpen for a little while, unless they've got a couple doubleheaders to make up and there's a 5 or 6 inning gap they need to fill, and maybe that's Samardzija's ticket back. But I think his more likely avenue is out of the bullpen.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Marsh Sanchez, Marty, Larry, Bill Lasky talking baseball, and we all know about Johnny Cueto with his shimmy and shake, but now we got the flamingo from Wandé Peralta. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Wandé Peralta is a little bit overlooked in that bullpen, because there are so many good lefty arms, and he is fun. And you see Johnny's influence all over the place, and you mm-hmm. see him with Trump and Trump calling for the shimmy, and you see even Tyler Anderson with you know, he does some funny things timing wise that I've not really seen from him in the past when he's with Colorado. And I do wonder if there's some Johnny influence, because he's a guy who does not talk all that much to media, but is a big leader in the clubhouse. Wandy too is just a joy to watch out there. And among all these lefties, he sort of gets overlooked, but he's been so good this year, really.
You know, they're loaded with lefties. What can I tell you? And they now have a new left-handed pinch hitter in Justin Smoke. You can't take Belt out. You can't get Flores out of the lineup, Solano. What's going to happen to Justin Smoke? Is he going to be a once-every-few-days kind of guy?
If that, and I think he might be like an eighth-inning type of guy where you bring him in for a pinch hit up at it against one of those power-throwing Padres relievers, righties, I think. You're right. The Giants have a whole lot of guys that they would rather DH. They don't really want Solano at second. They don't really want Flores at first. You know, on days where Ruff is in left, even Dickerson in left, they would prefer DHing him as you know, decent as he's been. There's just not really a place for Smoke. And that was sort of Pablo's role, too, in that he was not getting everyday starts, but he would still come in for a 7th or 8th inning at-bat and come in ready and sweating and able to hit, except he just was not converting. And that's why they turned to Smoke, I think. Pretty similar profiles, except Smoke sees more pitches than Pablo, and I think they trust that there's more power in his bat. So I'm not sure how many starts he's actually going to get, but I do think that there'll be at least a little bit of space for him to get late inning at-bats.
You know, Mark, Gabe Kapler is starting to put Joey Bart and Mauricio Dubon in the 8th and 9th spot a lot. And it's paying off, no doubt about it. Joey's hitting over 280. Mauricio's close to 300. And it's kind of taken the pressure off both of them because they seem to – they're watching more pitches. They're a little bit more better contact from both of them. Do we see these two pretty much playing the rest of the year down there?
I think so. And I think Mauricio's really settled on both sides of the field, where he's not – an outstanding center fielder, but he is definitely playing a much better center field than at the start of the year. And you look him at the plate, and it's obvious how many more pitches he is seeing now than at the beginning of the year. And he's a free swinger. He, at least traditionally, he likes to hit. He has admitted that he looks at average and wants that 300 average, where I think this Giants organization values on-base percentage a lot more. And that's been sort of a transition for him to look at bats differently. You know, a walk is as good as a hit is the thing. But, yeah, he's seeing much better pitches. He's walking more. And when you walk more and see more pitches, then you can zone in on the pitches that you can do damage on. And that's the really mentality up and down the lineup. I think they want to see more of that from Joey Bart. Because, you know, there's a whole lot going on in his mind right now, I'm sure, as he's still learning every pitcher, as he's learning every Giants pitcher and opposing pitcher and figuring out his approach at the plate. There's still a lot of swing and miss in his swing. You saw the three strikeouts the other day. That's going to happen, and they would rather him lay off those, you know, curveballs that he can't hit, and that has been a challenge so far. But when he does make contact, he makes about the hardest contact on the team. So he's coming around. It's nice to see.
Well, he's going to start lifting the ball, and once he does, there's going to be a lot of line drive home runs off that bat. You can see that coming off of Bart. That's for sure. Hey, Mark, this week was Roberto Clemente Wednesday. Number 21 was worn by all the Pirates, a number of players around baseball. I know it was a significant day for you and also for one of the Giants, Rico Garcia. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Rico Garcia was born in Hawaii, is from Hawaii, but his dad is from Puerto Rico, Eddie Garcia. And Eddie, I talked with him over the phone, and he said, you know, when I see my son out there with that number 21, I'm going to get emotional. I'm going to cry. He is from Puerto Rico. He was 12 when Clemente died. He was very emotional about it. He wore a band on his arm with number 21 for months afterward because he couldn't get over it. And that's the same 21 he saw his son wearing on a major league field. It must have been really, really emotional for him to see. You know, he took Rico to Cooperstown and to PNC Park in Pittsburgh for the 2006 All-Star game so that he could go and look at what is part mural to Clemente, really. And there are some pretty great pictures of the two of them in front of Clemente's memorabilia and stuff at the Pirates Park. And to see that come full circle, a guy who looked up to Clemente as a hero and as a humanitarian and as someone that he wanted to be both as a player and a person, and to see his son honoring him, you know, this many years later, it was really beautiful. And I'm glad baseball gave him a chance, and I'm glad Rico Garcia was in the majors to have that chance, because I think the next day he was sent back to Sacramento. So the timing worked out, which was really nice for the whole family.
You know, Mark, staying with that Clemente story and the award that's given out, there are so many great active players that do so much for the community, and there's only one award, or they always give it out to the individual of each team. Tell us more about that award and how much that means to these active players when they go out into the community and help them as much as they do.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a part of the player that you don't really see and don't really think about a lot, because you don't turn on the TV and you see them doing the humanitarian thing, helping the community, because that's not the platform with which they have. But you look at Hunter Pence, who is so many organizations and does so many great things around San Francisco and the Bay Area, and has become such a fixture here with the fan base and with the charities that he runs. And he was the Giants nominee, even though he's not on the team. And I'm sure the entire Giants team and community is 100% for that, just because of how much he means and how much he does. It's an award that matters, that these people want, and that it's a great way to honor Clemente, who, you know, he meant so much, not just to Puerto Rico, but to so much of Latin America, and he's still pretty much a god there. So it matters in a way that baseball sometimes doesn't. This absolutely matters.
Well, you can't overlook Felipe Alou as well, but I understand the influence of Clemente and being the first Latin American in the Hall of Fame and what he meant to baseball, and of course the way he died, such a humanitarian way. But Felipe is one, and Bill, you've known Felipe for years, and Mark, I know you've gotten to know Felipe a little bit. He was right in the middle of everything just as well. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Bill could probably speak to it better than I do, because I'm still a little bit new on the beat and still figuring out all the legends. And I'm sure Bill has better stories than I do for this one, actually.
Well, you know, the Latin Americans, the leader of the board was Roberto, no doubt. De Felipe Alou was right there with him. And as much as he's done for Dominican Republic and all of Latin America, Felipe Alou needs more, you know, accolades. He's done so much. And, you know, he never opens his mouth and pats himself on the back. And Marty, you're one of them that does. And as players and people that know Felipe Alou and his whole family, that's their biggest concern, is to have people be safe and well, and especially teaching the game of baseball as he's done. And those are the things. Besides Roberto, there's so many classy Latin players that have done so much for the game of baseball on the field and off the field. And one of the biggest things they do, they don't want those people to talk to them. They don't want to be on the front page. They want to be heart to heart with these people. And that's the realm of the Latin player. And they'll stick up to you for the last day, and they'll be right at your doorstep when they need you. And that's one thing Felipe Alou does. And that's one thing Roberto did. And they're just class people, and they need to be rectified.
Mm. So, Mark, what's this delay going to be? I'm told maybe we'll know something by 7 p.m. tonight, maybe something solid by then. But what does all this mean for the Giants? How devastating is it to have that momentum taken away? And it's in San Diego, such an important series, four-game series.
You know, when they had the when they didn't play a couple weeks now against the Dodgers in sort of a statement against or for, you know, unity with the Black community, some Giants actually said, well, I think that did cool us off a little bit. There was concern there about momentum, which is why the clubhouse is a little bit torn about whether they want to play or not. And I do think that there's something to that in the way that they've been playing really good baseball. And this is, look, health matters more than anything else. But if you're playing really good baseball and then you can't play for a couple of days, that also means something for a team trying to make the playoffs. At the same time, they're actually pretty well positioned to handle something like this. It'll be tough on the bullpen, but you just had Smiley return. You've got Samardzija in the wings. You know, when you've got to play a couple doubleheaders, that usually means that your rotation is going to be taxed. And they actually are pretty built up to withstand this. So I think it's poor for momentum reasons, but I should look deeper into San Diego's options and how their pitching staff, you know, their 6 and 7 guys are arranged. But the Giants are actually pretty well, you know, built to handle this, I think.
Okay.
Mark, my last question to you, it's going to be a tough one, so you got to think about this one, all right? Evan Longoria is your starting third baseman, and Pablo is DFA'd. Who backs up Evan Longoria at third base?
That is a good question. I mean, Mauricio Dubón, maybe. I think he's your best bet. But Dubón hasn't really played any third base. You've got Wilmer Flores, who's played plenty of third base.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think the Giants think the same way. That is a clear hole in the team for sure.
Boy, good question. Carl Stewart on Twitter threw out the point, you know, Matt Chapman is gone for the season with hip surgery for the A's. Said the A's should look at Pablo to be the third baseman for the A's. How about that?
As someone who just wants to see Pablo play, please. But the Giants didn't really trust him at third, so I suspect the A's will handle that similarly.
Yeah, sorry to see Pablo go.
Yeah, for sure. He's he's just a joy to be around, and not just not just within the team, but the community. He's beloved by everyone. We talked with Luis Basabe the other day, that now fourth outfielder, just in there for defense reasons, who's from Venezuela, and you know, was only here for a couple of days, but he was asked about Pablo and said, yeah, we're both from Venezuela. He was giving me tips in the batting cage the other day. You talked to Mike Yastrzemski about him, and Yastrzemski is saying, you know, he's a guy who, watching him prepare every day and watching him pinch hit, that has given Yaz some information about how best to come in late in the game and how to stay ready. He's the type of person who can really influence anyone. It doesn't matter. He speaks English and Spanish. He's funny. He's fun-loving. Mm-hmm. He knows so much baseball. That's a tough person to replace, because not many people can get along with everyone in the clubhouse like he has.
Yeah, boy, that's a good summation of Pablo. And I think he repaired whatever image he lost when he went to the Red Sox and came back under those circumstances. He goes out as a forever giant, and he goes out as someone who's loved by the fan base. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. There's been some tough times with Pablo, and I think that's going to happen with anyone who you see for this long, who you sort of watch grow up in front of your eyes. And that's part of his appeal, too, is he's just sort of another guy. You know, he does not look like a baseball player. He does not look like an athlete. And then you see him out there, and it's clear, oh, yeah, this guy is an athlete. This guy is his hand-eye coordination is way better than anyone else's. But in terms of just relatability, you know, we saw the worst of him, we saw the best of him, and we saw him sort of become an adult and start a family, and we saw him become one of the leaders of a clubhouse that really will miss him. And I know the Giants community will miss him, too.
It's a great point.
Great having you on. Thanks, yeah. Mark. Always a pleasure. Bill, you're the last thoughts on Pablo repairing that image. I just thought of that. I said, boy, he really did repair the image.
Yeah, he did. And you know, we talked about him being open when he came back to the clubhouse after Boston, and the team opened up their arms and accepted him. And, you know, some of the things that I remember about Pablo when he's running the bases, you know, you'd always see his head back and his chest out and trying to pump those arms, trying to, like, be a class sprinter. But just things that he did with the body he had and as much agility he did at playing third base and hitting a ball. And, of course, you know, three home runs in the first game of the World Series we'll never forget. And those things are always etched in our mind. But great stuff again, Mark. We appreciate your time.
As always. Mark, thanks. Have a good afternoon. We'll follow you on Twitter. Let us know when something solid happens about tomorrow.
Always a joy. Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Okay, that is Mark Sanchez, at Mark W. Sanchez on Twitter. You can follow him, and, of course, on KMBR.com. Bill, interesting afternoon. Maybe there will be baseball tomorrow, maybe not, who knows. But it does impact the Giants tremendously if there is a doubleheader tomorrow.
2 7-inning games, Marty, that's the key, and it's going to be quick. Those games go fast, and you have to be prepared for it, and you can't have a crooked number because, as you know, this Padre team can hit home runs as well as the Giants, and you know, some great pitching matchups in those 7-inning games if we do see two games tomorrow.
Yeah, plus it gets two games played, so you've only lost one in the series. That's a difference in losing three in the series, so... Well, let's see what happens. We'll find out a little bit later on tonight.